Good evening, everyone. Thank you for being here tonight. Would you stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome, everyone. We will call our meeting to order. Roll call. Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Genrich.
Here.
Trustee Atwood is on his way. President Raptor here. Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Green.
Here.
Trustee Sampson.
Here.
Okay. Do I have a motion to modify or adopt the agenda as presented?
Move to approve as presented.
Trustee Harris.
Second.
Seconded by Trustee Genrich. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. The first presentation of the evening is the award of certificate of election to newly elected village president.
I'd like to start off with congratulations.
Thank you.
And I, Deborah M. Bainan, Clerk Treasurer of the Village of Alloway of the State of Wisconsin, certify that Jim Raftor, as appears from the official canvas of the votes cast at the spring election held in the Village of Alloway, Wisconsin, on April 2, 2019, was duly elected Village President to hold office for a three-year term commencing on April 16, 2019, and ending on April 19, 2022.
Thank you. And we've asked our judge, Robert, to swear me in.
All right. And identify yourself, sir.
James Raftor.
James Raftor, having been elected to the office of president, it's my duty to ask you to swear your allegiance to the country, the state, and the village of Alloway. And in so doing, you will be assuming your position as village board president. We've entered into these duties now, and I will ask you, will you support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Wisconsin, and will you fully discharge the duties of said office to the best of your ability?
I will. So help me God.
Congratulations. Thank you. Okay, moving on. We are lucky to have with us our state representative with us tonight, David Steffen. David is going to say a few words to give us an update on the Green Bay Correctional Institution initiative. Representative Steffen.
Well, thank you, everybody, and if it's okay, maybe if more than a few words, this issue tends to take a little bit longer than that. First of all, let me offer my sincere congratulations to you, President Raftor, for your great work in re-election. You were just sworn in, and now you get to be sworn at for the next 3 years. So you got that going for you. I also want to thank the rest of the board and the staff. This journey would not have been possible without a unified front from you. You have all been willing to communicate with me, provide thoughts, and do so in a supportive, collaborative, positive way. And that's what I love about municipal government, is that happens much more than what we see in Madison and beyond. So thank you again to all of you and the staff. So many of you are probably briefed regularly in the conversations I have with Brad and with President Raftor relating to the progress down in Madison relating to the GBCI proposal. But I spoke with Jim, and I thought that as we're beginning a new legislative session, I want to brief you on the legislation and the issues that exist relating to GBCI that will be coming out in the next week. So I had an opportunity to meet with Governor Evers within the last couple weeks, and I spent my entire time with him speaking about this single issue. And if you'll remember from the campaign trail, as well as since he was elected, his conversation has always been about connecting the dots. Connecting the dots is his way of saying finding ways of solving multiple problems with a single comprehensive approach. And so that is what I'm trying to do with your assistance relating to the Green Bay Correctional Institution. So some of the dots that we're trying to connect, Department of Corrections is one of the major ones. Department of Corrections is facing a 20% vacancy rate for its correctional officers statewide, 145% capacity rate for inmates. So GBCI is at the top of that list and is dealing with some serious safety issues where GBCI is at the very top. Of the 36 prisons, the facility that has the most inmate on staff assaults of all facilities is down the street. It is the most dangerous prison in the state, and so there are a lot of challenges from DOC. Another dot, Department of Administration. Department of Administration is in charge of the 8,000 buildings that are owned by the state of Wisconsin, owned or leased, and Department of Administration with that building as a facility that is 121 years old, requires over $200 million in repairs, and has significant amounts of mission-critical, staff-critical repairs are needed, including issues with the locking mechanisms in their segregated unit. The segregated unit is the most dangerous portion with the most dangerous inmates, and when you don't have locks working in a maximum security prison, there's a problem. And so DOA has that challenge to deal with. Of the 87 issues in the state budget that relate to facilities, there's none of them that have a facility that's addressed that's as old, requires as much repair, has as horrible of a safety record as GBCI, and is part of the reason why I'm asking for it to be at the top of that list. Third issue is for the taxpayers. As has been mentioned many times, that the solution because of operational efficiencies as well as the ability to avert the $200+ million in repairs, there is an opportunity to actually build and operate a facility that saves money. It's counterintuitive. Counterintuitive that a new facility can actually cost less than an old one. But in this case, it actually, the numbers do work. And, you know, I've had the good fortune of working with some of your staff. Julie has been very helpful with helping us crunch a lot of these numbers along with our fiscal bureau down in Madison. And so, you know, there's an opportunity. So the taxpayers have an opportunity here. That's another dot. And the last one is the communities. Village of Alloway, of course, having a great opportunity at over $100 million economic development possibility, as well as a new host community community to have an opportunity at, whether it's a taxable or non-taxable facility, to have an operations that can be a centerpiece for other residential development and investment in the area. So those dots are the ones I laid out to Governor Evers. He was very receptive. He was... what he said is, I can't believe how prepared you are for this. And I said, I've been waiting 3 years. 3 years to be sitting in front of a governor to have this conversation. So it went very well, and I followed that up with conversations with the Secretary of Corrections, Secretary of Administration, to communicate what will be coming out, like I said, later this week or next week relating to this. I won't give the exact specifics because there's some interest in getting it past a few more people before it comes out. But in general, I want to tell you that there in some parts will reflect much of what you've seen in the past, which is the decommissioning and sale of GBCI. But there are going to be some additional flexibilities provided to the state on how it's financed. If you'll remember, last time was strictly a lease-to-own option. There will be an alternate, more flexible option for the state. I'm open to how this is going to be financed or how it's going to be reflected on the state's books. That's never been my big issue. I've been trying to work to get that prison decommissioned for the safety of those workers, for the betterment of those inmates, and for the Village of Alloway. So the financing is going to be more flexible. Additionally, the focus of the complex, as we part of this, and there will be some more information on that coming out, is that it's going to have a much greater focus on recidivism reduction, vocational training, educational programming, and a healthy dose of life training opportunities for those inmates. We have a 90% recidivism rate in our prisons, and in particular our maximum security prisons. And so 90% of the men who exit that facility will be re-entering the front door. So we let them out the back, they come back in the front. So we need to do a better job. You need to do a much better job with that. And so there's some programming elements that I'm incorporating into my proposal. So all this will become a little more clear in the next week when I make sure that you all have copies of the legislation itself, as well as I'm working to get some media coverage related to, you know, specific talking points, as well as an op-ed in the newspaper, if I'm able to find a way into it. If not, I'll just make sure you get a draft of my thoughts related to each one of the points within the bill. So as we continue this process, you know, I want you to know that I've been as open as possible to input from my new governor, his leadership, the other party, Democrats, and of course you, the public, as well. So it's been an incredible collaborative effort. I am certainly hoping to have an opportunity to continue to work with you. I think Jim and Brad can tell you that I'm available 24/7 on this issue to each of you. And so if you've ever felt like, you know, I just want to kind of find out a question on this, or I had a resident ask about that, please make sure that you get my cell phone. You know, Brad and Jim have it. I welcome the calls from you and to talk about it. If you have issues, concerns, thoughts, or you're hearing something and you're not sure on it, this is my top priority. I'm putting every one of my political chips that exist on this issue, and I'm hoping to deliver this time. I wasn't able to get across for you last time, and but I feel much better positioned this time than I did last time. So sometimes the sausage-making process down in Madison takes more than 2 years, and but I think we're on the right side of this process now. We have a little bit more wind behind our sails. My only ask is that continue to communicate, continue to support me on this particular initiative, and be willing to communicate support elsewhere and get other people involved. So next week, Wednesday, is a big day. Joint Finance Committee, which will be making some decisions on this, will be at UWGB. Certainly welcome members of the board, as well as the public, to attend and voice their comments. So those are my thoughts. Again, I want to just provide kind of an update, some prefatory thoughts, and thank you for your time and attention.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Representative Stephan?
Sure. Well, sure. How confident are you that with that $200 million in outstanding capital repairs needed, that we're not going to get surprised and that be allocated at some point, or a portion of that be allocated, so it postpones repurposing that property?
So, good question. There was no money appropriated in the governor's version of the budget that we received just recently. And I feel to a probably 95% confidence rate that my colleagues in the Assembly and Senate will not be putting money into GBCI unless it involves a new facility. So it's a great question, because it actually was part of what happened last time. So I feel very comfortable, more confident than I did last time, that we're going to be able to have all the votes needed in the legislature to get it to the governor's desk. And none of that will involve putting that additional money, because that's putting more money down the drain.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Representative Stephan, you've demonstrated stamina and diligence and hard work. And for the last 3 years, you've been working on our behalf. And I thank you very much for what you do and for what you will continue to do.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Rest Board. Thank you.
Moving on, we have another presentation from our annual Metro Fire Report.
Good evening. First, I want to thank you for a few minutes of your time tonight. I'm going to try not to make it go too much longer than that. And second, I will apologize for not getting you a report last year. But you should have in front of you a annual report that covers 2018 and also is a shortened version of the 2017 report. One of the issues that we had last year was our reporting system. We have been kind of battling back and forth with it for the last several years. Emergency medical services report and any fire reporting goes into that, and it also deals with any medical billing. So it's a rather robust system, and it can take quite a bit to transfer that over. So we struggled with that for a little bit, and we did make a change, and now we're very happy with the new product that we have, and I don't see another glitch in getting a report to you anytime in the near future, which we're very happy about, and hopefully you are as well. So we'll take a few minutes to walk through the report. You can see our incident volume 2017 and 18. It continues to go up. It is about 70% EMS, and that is pretty standard across the country, 70% response to EMS. And, you know, there's certainly demographics that are involved, but a 70% response rate in that area is very, very common. One of the things that we worked on in 2017 and 2018 was staffing of another med unit. So M471 is Med471. It's a paramedic ALS response unit. We were working through 2017, 2018, and into 2019 to make sure that we could staff that that rig as our call volume continues to increase and the eastern side of the city continues to grow. Pretty much all the houses that are being built right now are out on that side of the city. So we saw a need to add another med unit, which makes sure that we're not overtaxing any of the other units. And we did that this year. So that process was completed with the 2019 budget. We now have 6 ambulances staffed all year long, every day. It was a phased-in process over 3 years. So in Alloy, in 2017, there were 3 structure fires, working structure fires, and that means essentially the building was well involved when we got there or became well involved at some point in the fire. In 2018, there were also 3. 149 Pickard Circle on March 2017, that was one of the fires here in the village. That was one of the more significant ones. Including an injury and the eventual passing of the occupant due to her injuries in this fire. 2018, department-wide, our entire department responded to 13,002 incidents. Again, most of those were EMS and rescue incidents. We did have 241 working fires throughout the entire jurisdiction. And when we classify things under other, it really is other. It's just about everything else that a fire department is ever called upon to do. And that list is rather extensive, but you'll see some further breakdown in the annual report that you have. So 2017-2018, in Station 8's district, which is the Village of Alloway, there were a little over 1,100 EMS responses and 13 fires. That was a little over 1,200 in 2018 with 23 fires now, the fires being all types of fires, whether that's cotton fire, vegetation fire, anything like that. Total responses by unit, you can see the numbers there, and those numbers do continue to go up, as we said. Now, those are the units in Station 8 for the med unit and the engine. So some of the times that you're looking at right now, when we transferred data from one system to the other system, one of the key times was missing, and we could not get it out of the old system. We're still working on it, and we actually hope to be able to do it relatively soon. So these times are current times based on today's numbers. So our target time for EMS response within the village in route, so when we leave the station to when we get there, 6 minutes. Our actual time is 4 minutes and 59 seconds. And the arrival time in the village for fires, the target's 5:30. We're at 5:34 based on the three calls that we've had, fire calls that we had in the village this year. So again, the average, of course, will change more as we get more calls in that on the fire side. So some of the big things that we're working on in 2018, you know, unfortunately, the trend continues in this country, and with a recent incident down in the valley, it kind of highlights even more that there continue to be what we refer to as these active threat type of incidents where someone is actively trying to harm other people on the arrival of the fire department and police department. So in order to address that, we've worked very closely with the Brown County Sheriff's Department and Green Bay Police Department to train our personnel to integrate in with them and go into what we call a warm zone, which means the threat is still active to some degree. We have secured body armor, which you can see on our personnel there, including helmets. You see one of the Brown County Sheriff's deputies going up the stairs in front of our personnel there, and we're working to bring out a simulated injured person. And that is an integrated response between fire, EMS, and police departments to make sure that you get in, neutralize the threat as quickly as possible, and then immediately begin any life-saving measures that might be needed. You know, knock on wood or I guess anything else that will bring you luck, we want to make sure that we're ready for that in the event that it happens. We haven't had that happen yet, but I think it's important for everyone to know in all the communities in Brown County that your law enforcement agencies and fire and EMS agencies are working hard to make sure we're prepared for the evolving threats in front of us. We've gone through an entire year worth of training on this, and we continue to go on even more. Another thing we worked on with the village, and it has paid off huge dividends already, is we got the fiber connection done from to Station 8. So we rely very, very heavily on technology, whether it's for, like I said, our EMS reporting, fire reporting, and our training. We do a lot of training using various pieces of technology. The reliance we had on workarounds was getting quite overwhelming. We had to routinely take the crew and run them back and forth between stations to either sit in on the training somewhere else or get the training on a thumb drive and do it that way. Lack some interaction and things like that. Now that the fiber connection's up and completed, it's working great, and we can see a big difference in the connection speed and how stable the connection is to Station 8. So that's been very, very helpful. We talked a little bit about software in 2018. We changed our staffing software, our records management software, which is the data that you're looking at, and CAD, our computer-aided dispatches. Those are the three main massive platforms that we use, and we changed them all at one time. So you can about imagine how stressful that was. There's still some work coming on the CAD side. So some of the new data capabilities that you're seeing, we can quickly, on the spot, within minutes, pull up, and I mean minutes of a call happening, we can pull up a heat map. So this is a heat map for the entire jurisdiction right now. Red basically means that you have, that's where most of your calls are. Anything that's green, yellow, orange, it's you know, fewer calls. Obviously green is better. But you can see that we can do that very quickly now. We can pinpoint any issues that we might have. So again, this is volume alone. So then the response volume in the village, if you look at it, any red spot in the village is where we have a significant number of calls. Typically a lot of those might be an assisted living facility or something like that. Yep, that one, I believe, yep, you can see the Correctional Institute there highlighted, I believe someone mentioned. Then this one, this is really one that I look at every day. This basically tells us what our response time, it's a response time heat map. And this is down in the southern part of the village, which we always make sure that we're keeping an eye on. You can see the border there. And any red dot in there would be a dot that we would want to take a closer look at. Fortunately, there are no red dots, so that's a good thing. And again, that's based on real time. We can pull this up anytime. Like I said, I typically look at this every day. You don't see a lot of change day to day, but I happen to like the map, so I look at it every day, I guess. So what are our challenges in 2019? The biggest one, of course, is the continued increase in call volume that's across the board. It's a nationwide trend that the call volume continues to go up, primarily EMS. And then planning and preparing for the new implementation of the CAD process. Given some issues that we saw with the old one, we're working on a new implementation for a new CAD. Unfortunately, that means it's a shorter time frame, and that's a very complicated system. So implementing it in a shorter time frame is not something I'm really excited about, but there's a large team working very hard to make sure that that goes without a hitch. So that's what I have for you tonight. Certainly, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them now or anytime, 24/7 or on the phone.
Thank you. Any questions? Trustee Harris.
Yes. Do you know approximately how many calls out of what came to the village were coming to GBCI?
I knew that question was coming after I heard the presentation, and I would hate to give you a direct answer right now on where we are year to date. I can get you an answer by tomorrow where we are year to date, and I can give you last year's numbers if you'd like as well.
Yes, please.
Sure, certainly.
Any other questions?
No, just an observation that in the 6 years now that we've been working together, it's gone very, very well. I appreciate the commitment and the hard work from the fire department.
Well, I appreciate that. I couldn't be any happier after sitting through all the negotiations to make this agreement and just the open, honest conversations that you're able to have, and it's been very refreshing to see it work so well. Your staff here is great. Working with you guys is great. I personally couldn't be happier in having been very involved in that. So thank you very much. Okay. If you do call anytime 24/7, hopefully it's not on 911, but I hope you all have my cell number. Call me anytime.
Thank you for what you do for us.
Yeah, thank you. Much.
Okay. Moving on, we have a few announcements tonight. Where are we going to start? Representative Stefan mentioned a joint finance hearing on April 24th. It's being held at University of Wisconsin-Green Bay in the Phoenix Room, which is in the University Union, over by the business school. And we are being asked to anyone, village trustees, village staff, village residents, to go and let the Joint Finance Committee know the things in the budget that are important to you. We'll be talking about some of them a little bit later, but GBCI is certainly one of those. We have members who will be interested in saving money. We will have members interested in providing better corrections reform opportunities. And so if you are able to go and voice your support and share that with your friends, that would be wonderful. Village of Alloway retains its current FEMA rating as a CRS Class 6 community. You may ask, what does that mean? So I'll read a very short part of the letter to you. It says, Dear Mr. Rafter, the purpose of this letter is to provide you with the results of the National Flood Insurance Program Community Rating System field verification findings based on your 5-year cycle application. I am pleased to inform you the Department of Homeland Security, Federal Emergency Management Agency, has determined that your community will retain its current rating as a CRS Class 6 community in the National Flood Insurance Program Community Rating System. The floodplain management activities implemented by your community will continue to qualify flood insurance policy holders in your community for a 20% discount in the program premium costs for NFIP policies issued or renewed in the special flood zone areas. This savings is a tangible result of the flood mitigation activities your community implements to protect lives and reduce property damage. I'll skip down. I commend you on your community actions and your determination to lead your community to more disaster resistant. This commitment enhances public safety, property protection, and protects the natural functions of floodplains and reduces flood insurance premiums. Sincerely, William Lesser, CRS Coordinator, Federal Insurance and Mitigation Administration. So thanks to our staff for all the hard work that you do, and on behalf of our residents. There is a survey online for the Fox River Trail and how people access it. It's being conducted by the Village of Alloway and the County of Brown, and you can view or access that survey on the Village website, villageofalloway.com, and it's under the news section, so if you click on see all news or past news items, you'll see it down there. It takes 3 minutes to go in, answer the questions, but your input would be greatly appreciated. Item D, Village of Alloway receives the Award of Excellence from Wisconsin Association of the Historic Preservation Commission. We receive this lovely certificate, Mr. Trevor Fuller and Bobby Fredericks from our Historic Preservation Committee went down to Oshkosh to receive this. And I'll read a bit of the letter, but it says, congratulations, the WAHPC Board of Directors has awarded the Village of Alloway the Award of Excellence for outstanding accomplishments of creating an historic district, placing 3 buildings on the National Register of Historic Places, and conducting an intensive architectural survey which has provided a wealth of information for the community. We invite you to receive the award at the 2019 WAHPC State Conference and WHS Camp. So Trevor Fuller and Bobby Fredericks went, keeping our tagline historically progressive intact. Thank you to Trevor, the whole staff, and our Historic Preservation Committee for all the hard work. Project Vote Challenge Award. We talked about this last November. Last November, Alloway was awarded an award for a trophy.
I forgot to bring it in
here. Oh, we forgot the trophy.
It's huge.
During every election, the municipalities around the area, based on size, are either awarded, not awarded, a trophy for participation in the election. So this is not about the staff or the board. It's all about our residents who show up and vote. We know that's a terribly important thing, and I am proud to say that in the gold division, which means 10,000 residents or greater, the Village of Alloway came in first with voter participation, with a percentage of registered voters who voted at 39.6%. And for a springtime election, that's pretty darn good. Our next closest competitor was Green Bay at 37.4%. And they had some interesting things going on. So I'm very proud to be part of the Village of Alloway, and congratulations to all of our residents for taking active participation in local government. Taste of Haiti dinner at St. Matthew's Parish. There's going to be a dinner at St. Matt's Parish at 1:30 St. Matthew's in Alloway, not in Green Bay. And it is a Taste of Haiti dinner. It is on 4/27, so April 27th. And there is some great food being prepared. It is for a very good cause, which I believe, does it go to the school?
No, it goes to, St. Matthew's has built a school, and St. Matthew's, in, under the Hands and Hearts of Haiti, is under the umbrella of St. Matthew's, with another organization out of Ohio, and together they have raised the funds to build a school in Haiti, and that school's completed and paid for, and the money from this event goes to support that school and their operations expenses.
Great. And you can, I was going to tell you what the menu is, but I can't pronounce some of the words. So you can go to stmatsgb.org and get the whole menu and learn all about it. Let's see. On May 11th, 2019, in Green Isle Park, we are going to have the Myasthenia Gravis Foundation MG Walk. And myasthenia is an autoimmune neuromuscular disease that causes weakness in skeletal muscles, which are responsible for breathing and moving parts of the body, including the arms and legs. This is a fundraising walk to help conduct research for that disease. You can learn more about that event at mgwalk.org, and that is being held May 11th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., and that is going to be, I know it's in our village, at Green Isle Park. On July 20th, 2019, at Riverview Park, there is going to be the Feminine Project Walk fundraiser. And this is the second annual fundraising walk to support proceeds from the Feminine Project, which provides period products to homeless women and teens of Green Bay, which is one of the largest requested items from folks in need. So you can learn more about that somewhere. Oh, on the Facebook page, on their Facebook page, so you can look up the Feminine Project on Facebook and you'll learn all about that event. April 27th from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. here at Village Hall, we'll have a prescription drop-off. This is in concert with Brown County Drug Task Force and the Wisconsin Department of Justice. The Village of Alloway will be accepting unused, unwanted prescriptions and over-the-counter medications for proper disposal. Once again, that is Saturday, April 27th, right here at Village Hall from 8 to 2. For more information, you can contact our Direct Enforcement Officer, Jason Vogel, here at Village Hall. Believe it or not, we are in springtime, and I think it's getting close to summertime somewhere. And so the Village of Alloway, starting May 6th through September 27th, will be conducting summer office hours. Summer office hours will be Monday through Thursday, 7 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., and Friday from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. There is information as well on our website regarding that. Because spring has been a little slow to visit us this year, spring curbside collection has been extended to April 21st, so you can take all of your garden brush or garden waste and put it out to the curb. They do not take anything in bags, so don't put it in bags, and that will delay the actual brush pickup for another week, I believe. So it's garden waste primarily. There's information on that on our village website. And I have one more. The Governor Evers has declared the week of April 21st through April 27th as Municipal Treasurer's Appreciation Week.
And Julie.
And Julie.
Finance Director.
Thank you.
It's a combination.
It's a combination. So we will print these certificates off, but I will read what it says. It says, whereas the Office of the Municipal Treasurer is a time-honored and vital part of local government that directly affects the day-to-day life of citizens throughout the state, And whereas municipal treasurers provide the necessary financial information to governing bodies and agencies at the local, county, and state levels, whereas the municipal treasurers administer the procedures and financial records that allow governing bodies to carry out public functions efficiently and confidently, and whereas the municipal treasurers are the official custodians responsible for proper management and investments of public funds, whereas the 1,853 municipal treasurers and 72 county treasurers work together to collect property taxes for their own municipalities and counties, as well as their local schools, technical colleges, and the state, and whereas municipal treasurers continually strive to improve the administration of the responsibilities of the Office of the Municipal Treasurer through participation in education programs, seminars, workshops, and conferences across Wisconsin. Now, therefore, I, Tony Evers, Governor of the State of Wisconsin, do hereby proclaim April 21st through 27th, 2019, as Municipal Treasurer's Appreciation Week. Throughout the state of Wisconsin, I commend this observance to all our citizens. Thank you to our treasurers and responsible people for all the hard work you do, because you truly do provide us with extremely valuable information upon which we rely greatly. We are done with announcements. Move on to item number... I'll ask. Any other announcements? Any other announcements? Hearing none. We will move on to item number 5, public appearances. Is there anyone in the audience tonight who would like to speak on something that is not on this evening's agenda? Judy.
Judy Poe, 2375 Riverside Drive. I just want to say thank you so much for helping us, as you always do, with the use of the community hall and the storage closet, which was full to overflowing. We had a wonderful book sale. We increased the profits by one-third. We sold well over 1,000 books. It was very nice to see so many of you make an appearance on Saturday and Sunday. And I have got to say that for 3 whole days, the little room at the head of the back stairs was all cleaned up and looked so nice. And then I got a call to go over and pick up more books this morning, and I hauled 14 more boxes upstairs. So look forward to a good sale again next year. I think we now have in hardcover everything Danielle Steele ever wrote. So thank you again.
Thank you for doing that, Judy. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on something that's not on this evening's agenda?
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm the former co-chairman of the Village of Alloway Bike Ped Committee. I'd like to ask that the president put on the agenda for the next meeting a review of the TID district budgeting and bonding process. I had sent the president a letter on July 21st of 2016, which resulted in a long series of slideshows and actually public attacks against me on this particular issue. So here it is tonight. The chickens have come home to roost. Budgeting process didn't work. There was supposed to be a $200,000 project on West St. Joseph, and that was $200,000 for several years under the budgeting process, which was going to be paid through TID funds that were coming in. And then it got bumped up to a $400,000 project, then a $900,000 project. Now it's over $1 million. And that's as a result of some poor planning under the previous administration. The current Public Works is doing an excellent job, and they're using much better spreadsheets and doing much better accounting as far as I can see, and they're very accurate. But the old budgeting was improperly done, and now the bonding was not planned for, and there's going to be quite a bit of difference from what was supposed to be budgeted last year to the bonding that's going to be approved today. So I'd like the village president to put on the agenda for next week a review of the West St. Joseph project and the Fox River Trail connections that were supposed to be funded that connect the Arboretum Trail and the parking that goes along with that's being added for the old Chapel Hill apartments that the zoning department didn't require. They put in enough legal parking spaces there, so the village is not going to have to install some parking spaces there. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak on something that's not on this evening's agenda? Okay, we will close the public appearance section. Moving on, new business, action regarding resolutions authorizing the issuance and sale of $5,665,000 general obligation corporate purpose bond series 2019A.
We do have Greg Johnson from Pillars here to walk through the bonding, so I'm going to turn this over to Greg, and Julie and I and Sean are here for additional questions.
Thank you. Welcome, Greg.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be here this evening.
Thanks for being here.
I'm going to walk through the pre-sale report that was included in your packets that goes through kind of the financial implications of resolutions and the borrowings that you're considering this evening. At a high level, what this financing accomplishes is it raises capital for your 2019 capital improvement projects, most of which have recently gone through the bidding process. Primarily consists of some street projects and related utility improvements that are being done in conjunction with those projects, some park improvement projects, and then some infrastructure projects that are being constructed within tax incremental district number one. So all of these projects are being financed with one bond issue. The reason you see several resolutions on your agenda is because state statutes require that any time you sell general obligation bonds, you are required to identify how much of the bonds are going to be allocated towards a particular purpose. So you'll see there's a separate amount that's identified for streets, a separate amount identified for water improvements, sanitary sewer improvements, park improvements, and community development projects within TID District No. 1. So it's all being done in conjunction with one bond issue, but the statutes require that you identify how much of that bond issue is going towards each purpose. We also use that information to do the financial analysis to really allocate the debt service to the utility projects, to the respective utilities, the TIP projects to the TIP district, and then the balance of the projects to your levy for debt service. So that's kind of why the information and the resolutions are presented in the manner that they are. So I want to go through a few components of the pre-sale report to kind of highlight the financial implications. I'm going to start on page 9 of the pre-sale report. There are page numbers in the lower right-hand corner. The title of this spreadsheet is the tax impact analysis. And really, this gets to the heart of the portion of the bond issue that is going to be repaid through your levy for debt service. So to kind of walk through this spreadsheet from left to right, on the far left-hand side is just a summary of all of your existing general obligation debt service payments. And then there are a variety of sources that you budget to help pay those debt service payments, namely revenues from your various utilities. And then the remainder is paid through your property tax levy. So your total debt service payments in 2019 were approximately $2,526,000. The portion that you levied was $1,235,898. So that kind of represents where we're starting from in terms of looking at your projected levy before we look at the impact of these proposed projects. So you'll see in that column under existing debt, net tax levy, you'll see that your existing tax levy is remaining relatively stable for the next several years, and then drops off in year 2025 as some of your existing debt service matures. In the column under proposed debt issues with the green heading, that is when we incorporate the estimated principal and interest payments for the $5,665,000 of general obligation corporate purpose bonds that you're considering this evening. As I mentioned, we allocate the portion of the projects that are assigned to each utility. We allocate the debt service to the sewer, water, and stormwater utility with the expectation that the village will budget funds of each of those utilities to cover their proportional share of the debt service. There's a component of this financing as well that is related to TIF District Number 1. So similarly, the expectation is TIF Number 1 will generate sufficient revenue to cover its share of that debt service as well. So in the columns off to the far right-hand side under levy and tax rate, this really is the summation of your existing debt and the portion of this bond issue that is levy supported, namely your street improvement projects and your park improvement projects, and shows how your levy is projected to change going forward. And that takes into account, again, existing debt and the new debt service that's being proposed. And then next to that is your projected tax rate on an equalized basis for debt service. So next year, your projected levy for debt service would be about $1.3 million, and your tax rate would be about $1.28 per thousand on an equalized basis, which is just 1 cent more than where it was in 2019. In terms of levy dollars, the projected increase in your debt service levy is about $66,500 in 2020 and $58,500 in 2021. These are based on estimated interest rates. The final rates will be determined in the final debt structure when the bonds are sold. If you choose to move forward, that will occur in the month of May. In terms of looking at the impact on each of the respective utilities, before I get to that, just one other item. We like to look at your general obligation borrowing capacity as well, anytime you're selling new general obligation debt. The Wisconsin Constitution limits the amount of general obligation principal you can have outstanding to no more than 5% of the village's total equalized value. That's all property values in the village, including what's within your tax and criminal finance district. At the beginning of this fiscal year, the end of 2018, you were at about 39% of your general obligation debt limit. That's on the next page, on page 10. So you had about $30.4 million of borrowing capacity remaining. Just projecting your value going forward and looking at this proposed borrowing, at the end of 2019, you'd be at about 44% of your general obligation debt limit, leaving you with about $29.3 million of remaining capacity. We never recommend you use all of your borrowing capacity because you want to reserve some for unforeseen circumstances or emergencies, but you certainly have a healthy amount of capacity remaining. The fact that you're under 50% is also a very good benchmark in terms of looking at your overall borrowing capacity. So legally, you've got sufficient capacity to finance these projects. So in terms of looking at each of the utilities, kind of shifting our focus there, on page 11, we've just prepared a general summary of existing and proposed debt for the sewer utility. So we show all the existing debt issues, 2011, 2012, 14, 16, and 17, all that existing debt had debt service that's presently being paid by the wastewater utility. And then we show the debt estimated principal and interest payments for these proposed bonds. So that total column includes both existing debt and the proposed bonds you're considering this evening. There's no legal what's called debt service coverage requirement, but typically we like to look at that as kind of a benchmark. And how we do that is we take the operating income of the sewer utility, your revenues less your expenses. Then we add back in whatever you have for depreciation, and we call that your net revenues. So using your 2017 audited financial statements, that was about $671,700 was kind of what was remaining after you paid your operational expenses through the sewer utility. So we'd like to compare that to what the total debt service payment is going to be for the sewer utility and express that as a ratio. So we've done that under the coverage ratio column. So at a minimum, you'd want to see that at 1.0 or greater, meaning that you're generating enough net revenue to cover your debt service payments. You have healthy coverage here projecting going forward. So it's just kind of a way to kind of take a broader look at the utility to see how it's doing in terms of revenue generation to cover existing and proposed debt. We did a similar analysis for the water utility. That's on page 12. And here the only debt service that is subject to a coverage ratio is you have what's called a Safe Drinking Water Fund loan, which was a loan secured through the Environmental Improvement Fund. It's a program that's administered by the DOR and the Department of Administration. That requires that your coverage ratio just in that loan be 1.10 or higher. But here we've taken all the water utility debt existing and proposed debt service and show that that coverage ratio is projected to kind of remain around 1.25 for several years. That's again based on 2017 numbers, your most recently audited numbers. So again, kind of looking to make sure that that coverage ratio seems to be adequate to cover the debt service. So finally, in terms of the utility, we've looked at the stormwater utility on page 13. This is the same analysis, and in looking at the coverage ratios here, based on the 2017 numbers, you'll see from 2019 through 2024, that ratio is under one. So I think this is something that we've kind of discussed with staff. I think we'll kind of require some continued monitoring in terms of the performance of your stormwater utility. Doesn't mean you can't issue the debt or assign it to the stormwater utility. It's just really continuing to monitor that revenue stream to make sure that it's sufficient to cover the debt service for the stormwater utility. You always have the ability, if you need to levy dollars, if there's a bit of a shortfall, you legally have the ability to do that. I'm not saying that might not be your preference, but you do have that backstop if you need it. So in terms of the stormwater utility, that probably monitors a little more watching here going forward in terms of looking at those revenues and, compared to the total debt service. So the last area I wanted to address of the financing plan is TIF District number 1. We've done an analysis to kind of look at where the TIF stands presently and how it's impacted by this proposed borrowing. So on page 14 is just kind of a historical breakdown of the amount of new increment value that has been generated in the TIF district over the first 6 years of construction that have occurred within the district through 2017. These are numbers that were certified by the Department of Revenue. So as of January 1st, 2018, there have been $24,875,600 of new increment value generated within the district. That's the taxable value that generates tax increment within the district to pay for the project costs. And those tax dollars are illustrated on page 15, the tax increment calculation worksheet. And really, to be conservative, we've just kind of held that increment value steady. We know there's some potential development activity occurring within the TIF district, but we've really tried to kind of just look at what's been certified so far by the Department of Revenue. So your 2019 tax increment collection was about $539,135. We've just conservatively held that constant over the remaining life of the district. But I know there's some developments in the works that could likely drive that number upward, but we're just holding it consistent to be conservative for the purpose of looking at this borrowing. So we put a cash flow projection together on page 18. Page 16. And this really kind of looks at past activity within the TIP district and projects going forward really kind of existing programs or existing commitments that are in place and the portion of the financing this evening that's being attributable to this particular TIP district. So on the far left-hand side is we have the projected revenues. The bulk of these revenues are from the tax increment that's being generated within the district. There is some intergovernmental revenue that's mainly computer aid, some small amount of personal property aid payments. That's what encompasses the intergovernmental revenues. So that's the total revenue stream to the TIP district. The portion of the financing that's related to the TIP projects, it's about $575,000 of debt. We've amortized that over a 10-year period. And really most of the expenses, you know, through 2018 or through 2017 are actuals, 2018 is estimates. Really what we projected going forward is just some placeholders for some programs that are within your TIP district now, your facade grants and loan program, placeholder for some potential development incentives, which, you know, would have to be awarded through a development agreement, and then just some ongoing staff costs and professional services costs, really there just kind of for an allowance to kind of account for the potential for those expenses going forward. In terms of really what's kind of taken place from the time the TIP district was created in 2017 till the present day, you know, I think the village, and I mean this as a compliment, has been very diligent in terms of its use of the TIP district. I think, you know, as you've generated increment and projects have come forth, you're now starting, this is really the first financing that you've done that has a TIP component since the TIP district was created. But you've had, you know, that increment value that's been generated, which puts you in position to really undertake those projects. So I commend you for kind of being diligent and really kind of pacing the level of investment within the TIP district to match the actual revenue that's being generated. Because certainly you always have the ability to undertake projects that are TIP eligible. And if the increment's not there, you just need to essentially advance money to the TIP district from other funds and with the hope that that money gets repaid. You know, you've been, you know, conservative and approached it that you're really making those investments when the increment is already there and demonstrated to be able to cover the cost. So really, in terms of being able to handle the debt service for these projects, it fits comfortably within just the cash flow, just based on the increment value that's already been constructed, not even taking account any new development. So on the far right-hand side of that cash flow, you'll see under the balances column, that cumulative column, which kind of shows, you know, just based on, again, that current increment value, that that is going to be increasing over time. I know, you know, some of the projects that were identified when the TIP was created, you know, that still will hopefully become to fruition, in particular some improvements on Webster Avenue. You can see, you know, the TIP is going to be starting to build up a fund balance, which is going to, you know, potentially position you very well to have the TIP district cover those particular projects. So the TIP district is, you know, certainly doing what it's intended to do. You've been generating sufficient revenue to cover the costs. You're matching the pace of that investment and undertaking the expenditures to match the pace of revenue that's being generated. So that's kind of an overview of all the components of the plan. In terms of where you're at in the debt issuance process, this is step number one, consideration of the resolutions that are on the agenda. If you choose to proceed this evening, really over the course of the next month, we will be working with staff to kind of go through the formal debt issuance process. We'll go have a rating call with Moody's Investor Services, as the village has done in the past. We'll be preparing the offering document to put out to market for underwriters and investors to evaluate. We're planning on conducting the bond sale on May 21st, which is the date of your village board meeting. We'll be back that evening to present the actual results to you to compare them to what we've shown you here this evening. And then the estimated closing date, the date the money gets in the bank, is June 13th. So that's kind of an overview of where we go from here if you choose to proceed. So with that, I am happy to answer questions.
Trustee Harris.
excuse me. I just was wondering, what have you been seeing in similar municipalities with their interest rate? What are they receiving in your most recent ones? And then along those lines, I was wondering what interest rate, I was trying to go through the packet, understand a little bit better what interest rate you were using for these calculations.
Sure. I'd be happy to answer that. So the interest rate that we used for these calculations, we actually conducted a sale for the Village of Belleville last week, which has the exact same rating as the Village of Alloway. So we took those exact interest rates and we added 15 basis points. So 0.01% is one basis point. So we added some cushion in there, you know, to factor potential movement in the market. So if you're in the market today, the rates would be a little bit better than this. But, you know, we have a very good comparable in terms of comparable rating. So, I mean, it's a very good comparable scale to use for Alloy. Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions? I have one. What does it mean when it says the bonds will be subject to prepayment at the discretion of the village on April 1st, 2028?
That is what is referred to as the call date. So typically when we do a securities offering, we will establish a call date. So that's a date out into the future that within 90 days of that date, you can start making prepayments on the bonds, or if interest rates are more favorable, you could consider refinancing the debt. If there are changes in terms of the overall debt profile of the village and you want to restructure those payments, that gives you an opportunity to do that as well. So it kind of gives you an opportunity to make adjustments farther out, so you're not necessarily locked into the existing structure for the whole 20-year life of the bond issue.
Okay, thank you. And our rating is an AA2?
AA2.
AA2. Yes.
So it goes AAA, AA1, AA2.
Okay. Any other questions?
No, if I were just to boil down your assessment of the performance of the TID district in the years that we've been doing that, it sounds like it's very positive.
Yes, I think it's positive. I mean, you've been generating sufficient revenue. The TIF district has been, you know, covering its obligations, and you've been, you know, pacing, you know, the level of investment to kind of match, you know, what is included, you know, what's being generated in terms of revenue. You know, when a TIF district is created, you know, and some of you I know are involved in that process, there's a project plan that's created that really just puts the tool in place. It identifies what projects legally could be TID eligible, you know, projects maybe what development may materialize and kind of does that forward-looking forecast. But that document doesn't commit you to doing any of those projects or doing them in the time frame of which they were initially presented. You know, that really all comes in the implementation of the district. And so, you know, I think the village has been diligent in making those investments when the increment is there and sufficient to cover it, which I think is an excellent way to approach it, because the alternative is you do the projects, the TIF district doesn't have enough revenue, you need to pay for that through other revenue sources in the meantime, and you get reimbursed from the TIF district, but you know, you're kind of covering those costs through other funds. So I think the way you've approached it has been appropriate, that you can make these investments with confidence that the increments are covered.
Great, thanks.
Anything else? Greg, thank you very much
thank
for
you.
What you do.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, we will take the resolutions one at a time. We have resolution number 2019-06, initial resolution authorizing general obligation bonds in an amount not to exceed $1,730,000 for street improvement projects. Be it resolved by the Village Board of the Village of Alloway, Brown County, Wisconsin, that there shall be issued pursuant to Chapter 67, Wisconsin Statutes, general obligation bonds in the amount not to exceed $1,730,000 for the public purpose of paying the cost of street improvement projects. I have a motion on this item. Trustee Genrich.
So moved.
Do I have a second? Trustee Atwood. We'll take a roll call on each of these. Trustee Harris?
Aye.
Trustee Genrick?
Aye.
Trustee Atwood?
Aye.
President Rafter? Aye. Trustee
aye.
Dart? Trustee Green?
Aye.
Trustee Sampson?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Resolution number 2019-07. Be it resolved by the Village Board of the Village of Alloway, Brown County, Wisconsin, that there shall be issued pursuant to Chapter 67, Wisconsin Statutes, General Obligation Bonds in an amount not to exceed $270,000 for the public purpose of paying the cost of parks and public grounds projects. Do I have a motion on this item?
Move to approve.
Trustee Sampson, do I have a second? Trustee Dart, any discussion? Roll call, Trustee Harris.
Aye.
Trustee Genrick.
Aye.
Trustee Atwood.
Aye.
President Rafter. Aye. Trustee Dart.
Aye.
Trustee Green.
Aye.
Trustee Sampson.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Item 6C, be it resolved that the Village Board of, by the Village Board, Village of Alloway, Brown County, Wisconsin, that there shall be issued pursuant to Chapter 67 Wisconsin Statutes, General Obligation Bonds in an amount not to exceed $2,020,000 for the public purpose of paying the cost of sewerage projects consisting of sanitary sewer and storm sewer projects. Do I have a motion on this item?
Move to approve.
Trustee Sampson, seconded by Trustee Harris. Any discussion? Roll call, Trustee Harris.
Aye.
Trustee Genrick.
Aye.
Trustee Atwood.
Aye.
President Rafter. Aye. Trustee Dart.
Aye.
Trustee Green.
Aye.
Trustee Sampson.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Resolution 2019-09, be it resolved by the Village Board of the Village of Alloway, Brown County, Wisconsin, that there shall be issued pursuant to Chapter 67, Wisconsin Statutes, General Obligation Bonds in an amount not to exceed $1,070,000 for the public purpose of paying the cost of water system projects. Do I have a motion on this item? So Trustee Harris, seconded by Trustee Genrick. Any discussion?
I do have a question.
Yes, sir.
That $1 million, is that within the Village of Alloway from where the Central Brown County water pipe, is that for our?
Yes, it is for our water mains.
Totally for ours.
For water distribution.
Got it. Thank you.
Good question. Any other questions? Hearing none, I'll accept. We have a motion and a second. Trustee Harris.
Aye.
Trustee Genrick.
Aye.
Trustee Atwood.
Aye.
President Rafter. Aye. Trustee Dart.
Aye.
Trustee Green.
Aye.
Trustee Sampson.
Aye.
Motion unanimously passes. Resolution 2019-10. Be it resolved by the Village Board of the Village of Alloway, Brown County, Wisconsin, that there shall be issued pursuant to Chapter 67 Wisconsin Statutes, General Obligation Bonds in an amount not to exceed $575,000 for the public purpose of providing financial assistance to community development projects under Section 66.1105 Wisconsin Statutes by paying project cost included in the project plan for the village's tax incremental district number 1. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Harris moves to approve, seconded by Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? Roll call, Trustee Harris.
Aye.
Trustee Genrick.
Aye.
Trustee Atwood.
Aye.
President Rafter. Aye. Trustee Dart.
Aye.
Trustee Green.
Aye.
Trustee Sampson.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Resolution number 29-05. Resolution for providing for the sale of $5,665,000 General Obligation Corporate Purpose Bond Series 2019A. For all of the resolutions we just passed, do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Genrick.
Move to approve.
Seconded by Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call, Trustee Harris.
Aye.
Trustee Genrick.
Aye.
Trustee Atwood.
Aye.
President Rafter. Aye. Trustee Dart.
Aye.
Trustee Green.
Aye.
Trustee Sampson.
Aye.
Thank you. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thank you to the staff for all your hard work and going through all of this. A lot of work ahead of us. Moving on, action item number 7, Facade Improvement Program Rules and Policies. Trevor, you're asking for some changes to our policy for facade improvements.
Yes, that's correct. One second while this loads. So this got brought before the Economic Development Committee, and the biggest change is the I guess earlier this year we presented you the activity that's gone on in the facade improvement program over its life, and we also, it was noted at one of those meetings that one of the projects still hasn't returned their receipts, and so I believe it was Trustee Harris reviewed the rules and noticed that there wasn't anything requiring a termination of a project, so really, this is just spelling that out, that within 2 years of project awardal, we have to have the receipts to then award the funds, just so that we're not hanging out there forever waiting for a project to be completed. And then the other, as we're going through it, the other change was just modifying the language to reflect what our current practice is, and that is that as these applications come in, we present them to the village board for approval. We don't wait for a specific deadline. That was in there when the district was first created, only to gauge what kind of the amount of projects we would get. So we were inundated with several projects at once. So. But as you know, we're able to handle the projects as they come in right now. So, and then I believe Trustee Harris had one other comment, and that was on page 4. Since we would be removing the deadlines to apply, just also removing the deadlines on page 4 as well. So under facade improvement application form title, the applications are due January 1st, April 1st, June 1st, August 1st, and October 1st. That second line would be deleted.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for Trevor? Have the folks who have not submitted their receipts submitted them yet?
They have not.
Would this be retroactive, or are they not subject to that?
I guess I haven't spoken with Julie about that. I don't know, Julie, do you have a comment on that?
You only got one open.
Right. Yeah.
Get it.
Yeah.
Something to think about.
Work with them.
Yeah.
Ask them.
Yep.
I would say, if anything, 2 years from this date, right?
Tell them we want to give them money. if they don't want it, they can rescind their request, right?
Right.
Okay. Any other questions?
I agree with what Trevor mentioned. If there are any outstanding as of today, the two-year, I think we just make sure that we're all in agreement that the two-year clock would start as of April 16th, 2019.
Okay. So I will accept the motion.
I just have one other comment around this facade improvement. We also discussed a little bit at economic development. We had a big push on getting this information out when we originally started, but how do we get that out again so that more people can take advantage of it? That's not quite what we're discussing here, but something to keep in mind.
Yeah, we should continue to promote that. I know you guys do. Okay, any other comments, questions, thoughts? I will entertain the motion. Trustee Dart.
I move to approve the changes to the facade improvement program.
Including to add language that any outstanding
yes.
will be 2 years from today?
Yes, that's a good thing to put in.
Okay. Do I have a second, Trustee Green?
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 8, action regarding citizen and village trustee appointments to the village committees, boards, commissions. And it's that time of year. We'll start with, we have some changes on our, or for the Board of Appeals, Gary Strohan has agreed to serve another term. David Duran is no longer going to be serving, but Matt Clark has been moved from first alternate to a regular. He has accepted that position. Thank you very much, Matt. And Jason Alberts would move then from the second alternate to the first alternate. We have two vacancies on the Board of Appeals. If anyone's interested, please contact the Village Hall. Board of Ethics, Bob Kapla has agreed to serve again. Thank you very much. On the Economic Development Committee, Matthew Geimer has been on for 10 years and has offered to stay on, but he's going to stay on as the second alternate and allow Matthew Honnold, who was a first alternate, to move up to regular. Andrew Fabre has agreed to serve another term, and that leaves us with two alternates, alternate openings for economic development. So if you're interested in economic development, please contact Village Hall.
Dan Fox moved from second to first.
I apologize. Dan Fox, who has also served a term, is moving from second alternate to first alternate.
So we only have
one alternate, or one alternate position, which is the third alternate on economic development. Historic Preservation Committee, both Cecile Faller and Dina Mooney have agreed to serve again. Thank you very much. On the Park, Rec, and Forestry meeting, Angela Kowalczyk Adrians has agreed to serve another term. And we have one opening on the Park, Rec, and Forestry Committee meeting. We have some applications, and so we will be contacting them. Board of Review, Angela Kowalski will not be serving on the Village Board of Review. Matt Clark has agreed to serve another term, and Mr. Clarence Matuzak has also offered to serve as another term. Planning Commission, Wes Kornowski has agreed to serve another term, James Wheeler has agreed to serve another term, and Jason Alberts has agreed to serve another term as second alternate. Public Works Committee, Mr. Rick King has agreed to serve another term. From the Village Board appointments to the committee commissions, for Public Works, Lynn Green has accepted reappointment. And has Mr. Genrich accepted another appointment to the Public Works Committee? I thank you very much. I will also be serving another term, and we will be the three Village Board representatives on the Public Works Committee. Penny Dart has agreed to continue her great job in economic development. We thank you for that, as well as Plan Commission. Jim Genrich has accepted the renewed role on the Historic Preservation Committee. Matthew Harris has accepted Room Tax Commission. Lynn Green has agreed to be the alternate, and Chris Sampson will be the representative on our Central Brown County Water Commission. Matthew Harris has agreed to serve another term as a representative for Brown County Planning Commission Board of Directors, and I will serve as his alternate. And Rob Atwood has agreed to serve once again as the Village representative, Village Trustee representative on the Park, Rec, and Forestry Committee, and I am no longer part of the New Eye Committee because that committee doesn't exist. Do you need a motion on that? And I have a motion on all of that.
Move to approve.
Thank you. Seconded by Trustee Green. Any discussion? It takes a lot of people to raise a village, so I thank you all for all of your hard work and all of our residents who have also offered. For anyone interested in getting more involved with our great village, please contact Village Hall, and they will be happy to help. We have a motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 9, action regarding Brown County tax collection agreement. Do you want to say anything? Or?
All I can say is it's basically the same as it was last. Yep.
So we're contracting with Brown County to collect their taxes. And they have some new software that will make it easy for them, and life will be good. Do I have a motion on that item? Trustee Green.
Move to approve.
Do I have a second? Trustee Dart. Any discussion? We do have the option to do it ourselves, but I think this is more economic. We have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Item number 10, action regarding possibility of transference of one or more available reserve Class B liquor licenses for future purchase by Eschwabenon. We received a letter from Patrick Moynihan, the clerk treasurer for Eschwabenon, asking the Village of Alloway if we would be interested in selling any of our liquor licenses. And Mr. Lang, I turn it over to you.
At the last Economic Development Committee, we brought this item before that committee for a recommendation. And the Economic Development Committee came up with a series of questions that they would like answered. And I think Debbie participated in that meeting and shared how many licenses we currently have, how many we have in reserve. And so some of the questions that the Economic Development Committee is looking for is, What do we see in the future? What are some of the charges that other communities that have done this? What are those charges have been? Because the minimum is $10,000, and there appears to be no cap to that. Another question we referenced, if we were to sell it to Eschwabenon and the particular business that it was appointed to, were to go under, would we get that license back? And the answer is, from what we understand, is no. That license would stay with Eschwabenon, and how would you track that anyway? What other questions am I missing? I think those were some of the major questions.
First, I think one of the other questions, if I may add,
please,
is could we sell it with a contingency that we got a percentage of the take on whoever had it? So it sounded almost like it's feasible under contractual agreement.
Thank you very much. In the discussion, and Debbie, please correct me if I'm wrong, I believe we had 13 licenses in reserve currently.
We have 14 regular license and 9 reserve.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And so the question is, as we're looking at the potentials, say for instance, if Green Bay Correctional Institution were to be decommissioned, what could go in there, and how many licenses would that possibly require? We don't know that. We really don't know what the future is going to bring. And how the other question I think that was discussed is, what is the next level of population the village would have to reach in order to gain another license and reserve?
500.
And that's an additional 500 residents. So the recommendation from the Economic Development Committee was to gather this data, bring it back to them at their next meeting, which will be May 3rd, and look for their formal recommendation to the village board at the May 7th.
Okay, so you're asking us basically to defer this until May 7th?
Defer this until May 7th.
Okay. Do I have a motion on that item? Or any questions for Greg?
I'd make that motion.
Okay.
Second.
Seconded by Trustee Dart. Any discussion, Matthew?
Just one item to consider during that discussion. If we're looking at a possibility of or if I would, of, you know, getting a percentage of the tax revenue associated with that business, would there be the same tracking difficulties?
Oh, that was brought up.
Okay. That would, okay. Never mind.
Yeah, there would be.
These are liquor licenses, so the new brewery does not need this. This
doesn't is malt. Need it, no.
But whatever restaurant ends up next to it, if they serve alcohol, they'll be more than likely utilizing the last regular one that we have available.
It's a pretty valuable commodity if you were in Ashwaubenon and around the stadium.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, we have a motion to defer until May 7th. And a second, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you to our Economic Development Committee for their work on this. Item number 11, action regarding Public Works Committee minutes from April 10th. We'll start with 11A, Sean, 2019 leak detection proposal.
Thank you. This year we worked with the City of De Pere and Manitowoc Public Utilities to put together an RFP for this year's leak detection survey. We had sent that out to a number of firms, and we had received three proposals, and Utility Service Associates had provided the best price to the Village of Alloway at a cost of $7,650. This is a significant increase or decrease in what we've paid in the past for the same service. Last year we paid, roughly speaking, $23,000 for the leak detection survey of the village's water distribution system. So I would recommend that this contract be awarded to Utility Service Associates in the amount of $7,650.
Any questions for Sean?
Did we collaborate with other municipalities in the 2018 one, or is this the first year we've gone in with others?
It's the first year.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Do I have a motion on this item?
Move to approve.
Trustee Sampson, seconded by Trustee Dart. Any discussion? Hearing none, we have a motion and a second to approve. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item 11B, 2019 reservoir inspection proposal.
Yeah, every 5 years, the village is required by the DNR to inspect inside of village-owned water storage reservoirs. This year we have five village water reservoirs to be inspected. Again, we had worked jointly with the City of De Pere to put together a request for proposals. We had sent that out to a handful of firms, and we had received four proposals. And Water Tower Clean and Coat had provided the best price. In total, their price is $7,600 to inspect five village reservoirs. And I would recommend that this contract be awarded to Water Tower Clean and Coat in the amount of $7,600.
Any questions?
Comment. It's worth mentioning, and to take off on your question of cooperative, there is that splash study that the members of the Central Brown County Authority in Green Bay is in on that, and I don't know if there are other outside, but agreeing that even if, for instance, Green Bay and our system never really share, you know, mutual backups, that we can work together on all these things and do a group bid for a lot of these expenses.
And I think that's going to happen.
We'll be doing more of this.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah. Yeah. So for what it's worth.
Thank you. Yep. Okay, do I have a motion on this item?
Move to approve.
Thank you. Do I have a second? Trustee Harris, any discussion? A motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. 11C, 2019 street reconstruction bids, and I'll add to that the bidder request to withdraw the bid. So we have two motions on this item. Right.
That is correct. We have received bids for this year's street reconstruction project earlier this month. We had bid out two contracts due to the size of this year's project. Bids did come in higher than estimated. That is a result of the amount of work out there and the number of contractors. There's a lot of work out there right now. Municipal, private, and you've got the Green Bay Packaging Plant, the expansion of that plant, the Packer organization doing work, and then you have Foxconn. We've seen a drastic increase in the cost to reconstruct our roadways, mainly the installation of utilities. That cost went up, we noticed, went up 2 to 3 times what we've paid in the past. So we had, in both cases, we had five contractors bid on both projects. Again, we bid out two contracts, an 01 and an 02. On the 01 contract, Dorner Inc. was a low bidder at $2 million, $160,718.50. I would recommend that we would award this contract to Dorner, the low bidder of the AL 2019-01 project. On the 02 project, we had, again, had five bidders. We had initially we had a low bid, apparent low bid, provided by PTS contractors. Shortly after the bid opening, we had noticed a mistake, or what we thought was an error, on their bid proposal. We called them, and they later confirmed that they had made a major error on their bid. And within hours, we had gotten a formal request from them to withdraw their bid. With that being said, Carl Bowers and Sons was the second low, now the low bidder on this contract at $1,833,319.55. So we do need two motions on this contract. One to allow PTS to withdraw their bid and to keep their bid bond. And then the second motion would be to award this contract to Carl Bowers and Sons.
And Dorner. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yep. Okay. Well, why don't we take a motion to allow PTS contractors to withdraw their bid and keep their bid bond. I have a motion.
So moved.
Trustee Sampson. Do I have a second? Trustee Genrich, any discussion?
Well, it seemed like an honest mistake. They misbid the numbers, and good faith on our part would be to look to work with them again in the future, maybe.
Yeah, and I'd like to add that they have done work in the village in the past, and they've done a good job. So.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Do I have a motion to proceed with the projects and accept the low bidder, Carl Bowers and Sons, in the amount of $1,833,319.55 for contract AL 2019-02 and low bidder, Dorner Inc., in the amount of $2,160,718.50 for contract AL 2019-01. Trustee Genrich.
I would make that motion to approve both of those projects as presented.
Thank you. Do I have a second? Trustee Dart. Any discussion? We live in a rising cost world. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Item number 11D, 2019 Village Project Bonding. I'll accept the... Right?
Yeah.
Yep.
It was covered earlier.
So the Village Board had recommended to, or the Public Works Committee recommended the Village Board consider $5,527,749 bonding with additional information being provided that we had earlier tonight. Do I have a motion on this item?
I think we don't need one because we already accomplished it.
No action required.
No action required? Good. No action required. Okay, item number 12, action regarding resolutions. The League encourages municipalities to pass supporting municipal items in Governor Evers' budget. As you've heard over the last 15 minutes or so, the Village of Alloway, our costs keep rising, and our need for increased revenue sources continue to grow. And so there are some things in the Governor's proposed budget that the League of Municipalities believe that we should support. One of them is a 2% increase in shared revenue funding. And I asked Julie earlier today how much shared revenue we get from the state. And in 1991, we got $1.2 million. Today's dollars, who knows what that is, right? But that's 1991. And this year, we're projected to get, and for the last couple of years, we've gotten $360,000. So $900,000 less than we received in 1991. 2% increase doesn't mean a whole lot, but it's an increase rather than a decrease, and that's a good start. They also are asking us to take action on, or asking our state legislators to take action on relaxation of property tax levy limits, allowing communities to increase their levy from the prior year by 2%, or the net new construction, whichever is greater. Today we are constrained by the amount of net new construction in our community. So this throws in, we can increase by 2% or more. Addressing the state's transportation funding shortfall, a 10% increase in the general transportation aids funds, 10% increase in mass transit operation aids, creation of a $10 million transit capital assistance program, closing the dark store and Walgreens property tax loopholes, and restoring municipal ability to use eminent domain powers to acquire land for bike and recreation paths. These things can help us with some of our financial burden. I think the closing of GBCI go an awful long way towards helping us with these things. And so I guess we'll take these, we can take them, yeah.
What we're looking for is, do you want to have us bring these back prepared?
Oh, okay.
Because this is the language that the state or the league has put together.
It's just this.
And we want to go through the exercise of writing them to find that the Village Board has no interest in those. So if you want to take each one, we can go through each one. If there's any words that or verbiage that you would like to see changed, we can certainly do that. We'll add 20% revenue share revenue increase.
And Debbie just corrected me that I read everything they recommended, but we're being asked to support the 2% increase in shared revenue funding, the relaxation of property tax levy limits, addressing the state's transportation funding shortfall and increasing funding for GTA, mass transit operation aids, and LRIT, and the closing of the dark store in Walgreens.
So if this is an interest of the board, we will put these on the May 7th agenda as official resolutions.
Okay. Any input?
Yes. And I don't know whether I would suggest something, but Brad and I went to the League of Municipalities convention earlier this year, maybe late last year.
Last year, yeah.
And the dark store loophole came up, and there were some pretty good discussions, and I sure came down on one side of it, that, you know, we're going to the mat over this dark store loophole, and that's kind of like if that really becomes prevalent, it's going to pull a rug. It's going to be an emergency. It's going to be a crisis. But really, that's just a band-aid, because some of these dark stores, you know, given how fast the retail environment is changing, they might go out of business in the next 5 to 10 years. Things are just moving so much faster. So we kind of had the discussion, and with different people agreed that, yeah, you got to argue against the dark store loophole, but at the same time, you got to say, that doesn't fix us. We need, in pretty short order, to be creative in funding sources, because we rely too much on property tax of both. That's something you guys have been talking about. Rely too much on property tax, both residential and business, and that's not going to fix us. And I don't know if you would put, but I just want to see that, and maybe you do that by talking to Representative Stephan and just getting in his ear. But and the other thing, there was a lot spent on the dark store loophole, and it's really not a loophole. A loophole implies you're using something for a purpose that wasn't intended. And somebody asked, or I asked, are they doing anything wrong? Are they doing anything illegal? Do they not have the right to appeal their assessment or ask that a different assessment be used? Well, yeah, it's not a loophole, technically. You know, one of their people admitted that to us. So, I don't know, I just think this is interesting as heck, and but don't let the opportunity go to raise the larger issues, because we're going to be back in a couple of years. Even if we maintain the ability to tax everybody at the same assessment system, in a couple of years, it's going to be even more pressing. Maybe that's 2 cents worth.
Well, thank you for that. You're right. And ultimately, we're asking them to give us some of their tax dollars, but ultimately it's tax dollars that people are paying anyway, so we have to find other sources of revenue. Okay, on this item, I would accept... do we need a motion, or can we do direction? Motion?
Either if you want us to bring back resolutions at the next meeting or not.
Okay.
Or which ones.
Okay. If someone wants to make a motion on this item to have staff come back?
I'd make the recommendation to group all four of them together and have staff bring them back in resolution form next time, or when it's convenient.
Okay, thank you. Seconded by Trustee Dart. Any discussion?
Just one quick question. How much do we contribute as the Village of Alloway to the league and the box store, the dark store?
$1,200? $1,200.
What was their response when we asked for help in that situation?
They took our $1,200.
That's okay.
Any other questions?
No.
Okay. And I would just add, this won't come back to us by April 24th. So if you do go to the Joint Finance Committee, please don't be bashful in sharing this information with them. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 13, action regarding preliminary combination CSM for parcels AL-1516 and AL-1517. Riverside Drive, I believe. Trevor?
What?
Can I just add that if the motion is made to make it subject to review and approval by Brown County?
He commented to Kevin, our building inspector, and myself noticed. So this would essentially, the combination of these three lots, which are currently, three lots, would make this a non-conforming lot because there would be two primary structures on one lot, which is not allowed under that zoning district. We spoke with the now property owner, and his plan is to, I can show you here on the screen. So he bought all three lots. Currently there's a house here and a house here with a garage here that belongs to this structure in the middle. His plan is to raise this structure in the middle, but while and rebuild here. But while that's going on, he plans on living in this house. So build a new house here, and then eventually this will become a new lot, and he'll rent that out or sell it. However, we're okay with that plan, but we wouldn't recommend combining all three lots. We would recommend maybe combining these two lots, and even possibly moving this, if his project allows, moving this lot line 5 feet to the south to make this a conforming single-family lot. It does sound like if he would like to do that, he actually brought that up. We didn't even recommend that initially. So I think he's just getting the cart before the horse here. And I think maybe just recommend a pause on this before allowing him to carry out the project and then bring this back forward once the project's completed.
So he's planning to raise the middle structure. He's going to leave the garage on the south end?
That's the plan. He's not entirely sure at the moment. He might just end up raising that as well.
Okay. So we can take no action on this?
Right. Debbie, that would be the correct action? Because we technically don't have much authority when it comes to the uses. But in this particular instance, I think we should
know. We can make the recommendation.
Yeah, we should make a recommendation to the Brown County that this would make this lot more nonconforming. Okay.
So this has not gone before Brown County yet?
I don't believe so. I believe it goes May or April 30th, right?
April 30th.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Green?
I would move to send recommendations to Brown County per Trevor's assessment of the situation. But if we really are to table this, I would also suggest a secondary part of that being the suggestion to Brown County to table it until the project takes on firmer ground, because it sounds like there's a lot of what ifs. So.
Okay.
I would second that along the lines of we're being asked to, in essence, approve something that we know would be non-conforming. Okay, I know we don't have complete say in these issues that come before us, but I think there is. I've got concerns when we're setting ourselves up. We're not the Board of Appeals. We're putting in our own variance. So I think that's the discussion after the second.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for combining them. Any other discussion? So is that clear? Look it up. We have a motion on the table and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
If I may, who spotted this? And whoever did, nice job.
Was that you, Trevor?
I think it actually was Kevin.
Nice job. Okay. Item number 14, action regarding Arbor Day proclamation. They're asking you to approve this. Thursday, May 2nd, 2019, whereas in 1872, J. Sterling Morton proposed to the Nebraska Board of Agriculture that a special day be set aside for planting of trees, and whereas this holiday called Arbor Day was first observed with the planting of more than a million trees in Nebraska, and whereas Arbor Day is now observed throughout the nation and the world, and whereas trees can reduce the erosion of our precious topsoil by wind and water, cutting heat and cooling costs, moderate the temperature, clean the air, produce oxygen, and provide habitat for wildlife. And whereas trees are a renewable resource, giving us paper, wood for our homes, fuel for our fires, and countless other wood products. And whereas trees in our village increase property values, enhance the economic vitality of business areas, and beautify our community. And whereas trees, wherever they are planted, are a source of joy and spiritual renewal. And whereas Alloway has been recognized as a Tree City USA by the National Arbor Day Foundation and desires to continue its tree planting ways. Now, therefore, I, President of Village of Alloway, do hereby proclaim the second day of May 2019 as Arbor Day in the Village of Alloway, and I urge all citizens to support efforts to care for our trees and woodlands and to support our village's urban forestry program. And further, I urge all citizens to plant trees to gladden the hearts and promote the well-being of the present and future generations. Trustee Green.
Moved to approve.
Thank you. Do I have a second? Trustee Harris. Any discussion?
Yes, with Emerald Ash Borer and the amount of ash trees we have within the village, I would really encourage people to take a look at your lots, assess your trees. If you've got ash, get a good succession plan, because even if you treat them, we don't know where that's heading. And then I've noticed a lot of sapsucker damage, too, to some trees this spring. I know I've personally lost one, so it just, as our trees go, we need to be bringing more in, and we've done a great job with that, so I think not only on a municipal level, but residents as well.
Very good. Thank you. Any other discussion? We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Item number 15. We'll take items 15A through D unless there is an objection. Do I have a motion on this item?
Move to approve.
Thank you. Do I have a second? Trustee Dart, any discussion? We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Item number 16, WEDC grant report.
So we, as you know, we have applied for a community development investment grant through WEDC. That grant was 25% of total project costs, construction-related construction costs, up to $250,000. We received word that we did receive the full amount of $250,000 to go towards the construction of Zamboni Brewery and the related commercial space on that site. And so this is pretty significant, and that this will help offset some of the environmental remediation that's necessary for the site, which is estimated around $800,000. So $250,000 will definitely go a long way in helping with that. So.
It's a great way to end the night with good news and more good news, I bet.
I just want to thank Trevor. Trevor took the time and energy to and a lot of work to put this grant together, and thank him for that.
Thank you very much, Trevor. Once again, great work.
So where is the Zambaldi schedule these days?
Morgan.
Planning on break or mobilizing on Monday the 22nd.
Ooh, all right.
That's this Monday.
Earth Day.
That's the next Monday.
Pardon? Good things come to those who wait.
On Earth Day, they'll be mobilizing.
Okay, thank you very much for that, Trevor. Item number 17, future agenda items. Is there anything that any board members would like to see on a future agenda? Hearing none, I'll accept the motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Unless you want to stay. Mm-hmm. Trustee Dart, seconded by Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. I thank you all very much.